بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن فرعون علا في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم. Pharaoh had elated himself in the land. He suppressed one group, slaughtering their children, slaughtering their sons, and sparing their daughters. Pharaoh was forewarned that there will be a child born to the Israelites that will overthrow your kingdom. So this became not a pain in the neck, a pain to his existence. Because you must understand how a king looks at things. So his greatest concern is the throne. Everything else is secondary to him. The greatest concern is the throne. To secure the throne, he is prepared to go through any sacrifice. If it is to murder thousands and millions of little infant children, he doesn't hesitate doing so. And then, who's going to carry this out? His army is going to carry it out. So the army marches on the stomach. See them right? They see you right. So now that seemed to be the right thing for them, because they were seen right. When they were seen right, so slaughtering infant, little, innocent children seemed the right thing. And then you just trace this again, you'll find it again. Same thing. Just to preserve the throne and what sacrifices are done. Just to preserve it. The king of Persia, now Iraq was one that time. King of Persia, he received the Mubarak letter of Rasulullah Pak and he tore it. And Nabi Sallam cursed him, Allah Ta'ala, tear your kingdom as well. And within a few months or few years, the prince is watching now, the father is not dying. I can only come to the helm of the affairs when this man is gone. But the man is not dying. So the only way that I can come onto the throne is after I've spotted him. So spotting the father doesn't mean anything. Here spotting children doesn't mean anything. And here spotting the father doesn't mean anything. You see this mentality that I must be at the head. Anything that poses a threat to my security or my status, I must just eliminate it. And the father was preempting that this child is after me. He wants to be at the head, and he's preempting, he's conspiring to work against me. So the father worked against him. The father knows now this child, young teenager, and what he likes. So in his vaults, he showed a medication shelf. In the medication, he's got this medication is very, very potent. But what the youngster wants? He wants fun. Father already conspired to kill the son. Son saw that, hey, that's how my father was managing so many things he was managing. This was the thing, this is. Took it one shot. And in the next stroke, he died. So the son killed the father. Right? The son killed the father, And the father got the son killed. See that? So, what counts by them is security of the throne. And for the security of the throne status, any sacrifice will work. Anything. Honor, reputation, life, wealth, anything. And I must, this position of mind must be secure. Now, presently, according to the stats, Islam is the fastest growing religion. There isn't a religion that's growing as rapid as Islam. The speed of the growth of Islam is greater than the world birth rate. One is the birth of the world, right? The world birth rate is one. And the growth of Islam is even greater than that. So obviously then this poses a threat to the person on the kursi. Kursi person, what he wants his kursi. So now, then how to put a stop to this? So, they tried different ways. They were stuck in Russia for 30 years, 10 years with the Russians, and 20 years with the Americans, and they saw at the end of the day that this is not working. So we thought we'll eliminate them. How will we eliminate them? Engage them in war. So they tried that. They tried it in the Arab countries, Syria, ISIS, all that. But after experimenting on that, they saw it wasn't working. So to experiment on life is nothing. How many millions of people are killed? It's all right. But the experiment is to ensure that our position is secure. Our position must not be risked. There must be no risk. That must be secure. So now that becomes the thing that is topmost right before them. That how must our position be secured? So they tried this and it didn't work out. So they have to re-strategize now. But how do we stop this thing? This is just growing. It's growing. So of recent now, what they started now, recent means not this year, some many years ago, I would say over 30 years, right? 30, 35, 40 years, or even more. They felt that the best way now is to dilute. So when the whole Islam is diluted, then what do you get? It's diluted now. When it's diluted, then you have a body without a soul. It's diluted. About 2 years ago, one Jew wrote a thesis, right? I'm just going to show you how it works. He wrote a thesis, and the summary of his thesis was that you may kill a Muslim, may rob him of his wealth, he'll be able to manage that. But if it is blasphemy, and especially against his Nabi, he can't tolerate it. So now they are researching what is the thing that really shakes the Muslim. So they come to the conclusion that the thing that really shakes him up is blasphemy, and more especially when that is aimed towards the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that shakes him up. And that person who does that is not safe. Be in Switzerland, Sweden, France, Australia, wherever. But that person is not safe after that. And how cleverly this worked out, that the person that does the worst crime, right, after some time, he's released, whatever, some excuse, or some under some pretext, it's out, finished. And nobody thinks much about it. But if it is that there was some blasphemy against Islam, right, so that person is given the best state-of-the-art protection. Salman Rushdie, state-of-the-art protection is what? All, the whole world, such, okay, if you do anything, any blasphemous act against Islam, then you will get the world best protection, state of the art. So that's how their plan is, that you do this and we'll give you all the protection. So now they thought about it now, that how do we get this right? Because this thing here, we can't get it right. Because if we do this, we press this button here, then we are risking our people's life. So how do we do it? So the conspiracy now is now to dilute Islam. Now, then how do you go about diluting Islam? So first you have to identify the tenets of Islam, the more important and more glaring things of Islam. When you understand this, then you know how to, what to aim at, and then you understand how to dilute. So, they earmarked about three things. Three things, and we have to work on these three things, and we'll get the whole Muslims to be diluted. If he'll be diluted, then he will appear as a Muslim. The costume of a Muslim, his name will be Muslim, but you can manipulate him, give him the shape and the adjustment as you will. As per your will, you can adjust him however you want. Turn him around, adjust him, manipulate him, you can do everything. But you have to understand what are the important tenets in him. You know that, then you know how to manipulate him. And if you don't know this, then you don't know how to manipulate him. Some days back, I was thinking, you know, there's a child that is coming, right? Or it's about to come in. So they work it out now on the scanning machine, boy, girl, whatever. What they're not supposed to be doing, they're doing all that right, whatever. Then you get a whole list of names they're asking. Okay, this child coming in, what name? Something unique, or something very special and unique. Because he's a very, very special child. So everybody's child is special to the mother. But that child must be a very special name. So, I understand it this way. Giving a good name is important in Islam. But similarly, or more important than a good name, is good values, good character, good behavior, and good conduct. That is even more important. Because the name, giving the name, is a matter of a second. Give a name, go on. But molding that person into a right behavior, right conduct, right values, that takes a whole life. You talk to him again at the age of 6, then at the age of 12, then he's 18. And you talk to him because his whole psychology changes. His biology, there's a biological difference, there's a psychological difference. His thinking, his mannerisms, his ways, his behavior, everything changes with age. And now, you have to understand the biological changes and then correct the psychological changes, make him think right. He's not the same. Now he's a different person altogether. Summa ansha'nahu khalqan akhar. Kaal Allah Abak says that. Summa ansha'nahu khalqan akhar. Then he's a different creation altogether. What he was and now what he is a different thing altogether. So now, you have to understand now, what are the root things in this person, in this creation, what is the root things? So, when we understood the root, then we know how to make him rude. If we didn't understand the root, then how are we going to work with him? Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the zalim of this ummah, right? So he had heard, whenever a tyrant comes onto the rule, then there's a group of the righteous. They make dua against him, and that person is eliminated. Right. You got Ziyad, right? Ziyad, and his son is Ubaidullah. So, he's an illegitimate product of Abu Sufyan. Right. Now, the differences are carrying on. As Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is luring Ziyad towards him because is an illegitimate child of Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan, whatever happened, pre-Islamic, so it's his child. Right? And Islam doesn't recognize this. If the child is born out of wedlock, then the father is not responsible at all. No matter whoever sees whatever, but the father got no responsibility, is entirely the responsibility of the mother. So now, Ziyad, he's appointed by Muawiyah. So he writes up to Muawiyah, you see, my left hand, I've got it under control. That means the whole Iraq is under me, my governorship. Hijaz is not yet under my control. Hijaz is under Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So I got my left, I got it full. Now, you allow me, and I will take the control of the Hijaz as well. That means Makkah, Madinah, all this. I'll take control. In the meanwhile, when the people of Hijaz got to know, they went up to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and they complained to him that this man is contemplating. We know about his power. We know about the might, right? And he's coming in this direction. And we know what he's capable of doing. So just make dua against him. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu turned towards the Qibla, raised his hand, and made dua. And he had to just make the dua, and the Ziyad fell seriously ill, and that was the expiry. He expired, finished, kalas. Now you're coming back to Hajjaj. We know he's a tyrant of this ummah, right? We know the atrocities, we know the zulm that he's done. So, Hajjaj now, he got to know that there's a group of the righteous, and whenever they see a tyrant in place, then they make dua for that person to be eliminated. You see Ibn Umar and what he did, and in moments, things just collapsed, everything has failed. So, Hajjaj bin Yusuf now thought about this thing now, how to break this plan. So he outwardly shows a lot of respect to these righteous people, fed them nicely, well, for 1-2 months he fed them very well. However, under whatever pretext, but he fed them very well. After the 2 months or 3 months of feeding, then he announced that, now I'm not afraid of you at all. Because I fed you with haram. Now, your du'as are not going to ascend. Now, how does this work? From a logical perspective, how does this work? Haram and du'as getting rejected. See the Quran Sharif says, the Anbiya, kulu min at-tayyibat wa amalu salihah. Eat right, and then do good works. So righteous work has got a connection with halal. Right. It's a connection. Though we cannot comprehend it, we cannot understand it. But there is a connection. Kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu salihah. There is a connection. See, we are trained to think that quantity is life. So quantity is not life. The quality is life. What's the degree of the halal? The degree of the halal proportionately is the production of good. And if it's not halal, then there is no production. So, the consciousness and the awareness of halal. But now look after this verse, see, the Quran is all linked up. But that link, you have to think into it. Think and you'll get the link. And then he says, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا. Right? So you've heard about halal, and then Allah says, path is a single path. Path of deen is one single path. There's no divisions, there's no sex in this. It's one single path. هَذِي أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّتُمْ أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ. I am your Rabb, you are my worshipper, you are my servants, I am your Rabb. So it's just one path. But then, فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنْهُمْ زُبْرًا. Then everything got broken down. So you see that point that they broke on, where they broke up, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَمَلُوا الصَّالِحًا. Eat good, and you'll be a good person, you'll be all united. But you're not worried about your intake, so the outcoming also won't be right. If the intake is not right, then what is outcoming is not going to be right. No matter what you do, but it's not going to be right. But what's the link? The link is this, is what you have taken is wrong. So what you have taken is two types. One is your earnings, and the other is the food. So both you have to be concerned, not only about the food, you made Bismillah and Sabah, but the earnings, how are they? Is the earning right, and is the intake right? Are you concerned about it? Whether you're going to a restaurant, whatever you're doing. So is your earning right, and is your intake right? So both have to be right. The earning has to be right, and what you're taking must be right as well. And don't consider this to be insignificant. Right? Now I'll show you. So if that earning is not right, and the intake is not right, then the wrong energy is going up into your entire body. What's going into your body is the right quality or the wrong quality. So that is changed into energy, and that energy is then circulating to the entire body. We understand, right? That the system of Allah Ta'ala, what you're taking, that is transformed into energy, and that energy is then circulated into the entire body. So that energy was wrong, when that energy was wrong, then the whole body will be wrong. The hands will be wrong, the eyes will be wrong, the tongue will be wrong, the ears will be wrong, the mind will be wrong. Why? The intake was not right. So the whole body can't be right. The mind can't be right, the eyes can't be right, the ears can't be right, nothing can be right. So when everything is going wrong, then what was right will appear to be wrong. And what was wrong will appear to be right. What was right will appear to be wrong, and what was wrong will appear to be right. Now, that at two levels you have to be thorough, very, very thorough. And the mutaqaddimin, they were very thorough in this, very, very thorough. Of latter times, the last century, was Imam Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi. So his consciousness of halal and haram was at a different level. So therefore, people would hesitate before the Ghima Dawat. Because if he was doubtful or not right, he'll take the meal, and he doesn't know the earning. But his righteousness was at that level, that it will filter things out. And the filter, what it will do, if it was not right, that food will be just spewed out. Now, the host becomes embarrassed. Hey man, something not right here. So nobody would take a chance to just give him an invite. One person said, oh, let me try it out. So he invited. Well, through the meals, not even 5 minutes, he went out and he spewed out. So it was very unique, you experimented with the wrong person. What happened exactly? He said, no, I am a police official, right? So I can demand things according to my influence. So, I just instructed to the servant that the police officer, he needs so much of mitai, gajar, alwa, this, that, and all that. That person just went into a tremor, he just parceled everything and sent it. So, what went into the system, was it right? It wasn't right. It wasn't right when I just threw up, finished, out. He got embarrassed. So, Mulana would insist, Mulana Zafar Hussain Sabra, that he would insist, that let me go Hajj and let me go on foot. I won't go in those days, they talk of 250, 300 years ago. So people would travel to Hajj from Surat, that was now a gateway to Mecca. They used to call it Bab-e Mecca. The harbour was there. And the other harbour was in Karachi. So these are two points, right? So Murad would prefer going on foot. And he would say, see, I prefer going on foot because if I'm going to go through the ship, right, then what's going to happen? I'm going to bypass all these small, small villages. And if I'm going on foot, then I'll go through all the small, small villages. I'll get a chance to cover hundreds of villages before I go for Hajj. So stay there for 2 days, 3 days, 5 days. So I stay about almost a year to get there. But in that process, he's working a little bit here, talking about Islam here, getting the people right here, like how our gush satis will. So this gush thing is a very important thing. More than everything else, the gush and the zikr. The zikr brings the life, and the gush brings the connection. That's the connection, and this is the life. Although we see it in a different way, we think, oh, ishtima and maswara is more important. It's important, but not as important as the gush and the zikr. The zikr and the gush is the most important thing. You got that right, everything is running very well. So Murad comes across one village, and he saw the masjid is shut down. So he inquired now, what happened here? He said, no, this Chaudhary here, he is not doing namaz, so the masjid is closed down, nobody is performing namaz. Right, in India, the system is like similar to our country, right? So you have an induna, then you have a Chaudhary. Whatever the Chaudhary says, it works. So Murad had to go and meet up with the Chaudhary. So the Chaudhary is saying, you see, I got a hairstyle, got a beard style, and I'm going to make wuzu to spoil the style. Right? And I can't allow that. See, to set it up, how long it takes, the beard, the hair, all that takes time. I'm going to make wuzu, I have to make miksar like this, I have to make fiyar my beard nicely, water was passed everywhere. And then, the style is gone. So, Al-Mu'am Zafar Sahib told him, Rahmatullah Alayhi, alright, just make a namaz. Don't do the wuzu complete, it's alright, however you're doing it, but just do it, just start the namaz. Anyway, Murad finished that. When he finished that, he went to Sajda, and he cried for approximately 1 hour. So the Khadim that was accompanying him on this journey, he said, I saw two things that I never see before. What did you ask him to make an incomplete wuzu? And what was this long 1 hour sajda that you made? What happened? So he said, in the sajda I cried to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, my work was to show the person your house. That was my work. What was my work? To show him your house. So I showed him your house, I led him to your house. But to correct his mind and thinking, that is your work. I can't correct that. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهَدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ. Correct the mind, make the person understand Zen Sazi, but the Khuda ka kaam, he can make that happen. I can talk, I can preach to the person, but who's gonna make that Zen? Who's gonna make that mind? Who's gonna correct it, rectify it? That's entirely the work of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I did what I could do, my broken effort, but Allah, you make the person now. And the Chaudhary after that, he shaved off his hair, cleared up his beard, and until he lived, he never forget his tahajjud namaz. Right till then, he didn't forget his tahajjud. But you see the link, halal and the acceptance. Halal and the acceptance. So, this is the first thing that they had worked on to corrupt the wealth. So, just to dilute it. How to dilute it? Give it a good front. So when you're giving it a good front, so people think it's right. I can be selling pies here, and I can write halal pies, so people just want to see that word halal, and they're running like mad after that. They don't know what's going on. I'm going to show you a business, and I'm going to just show you Sharia compliant. So you heard the word Sharia Islamic, And then you go for the thing. Now, whether it's right or not right, you can't understand the nitty-gritties, but you can see such a good return coming up. So you're going into it. So either the earning or what you are taking in is not right. So Hajjaj already made out that this is the thing that breaks everything. So now let us go to the wealth. The second thing, they thought how to dilute Islam. See, I showed you one thing, how to dilute Islam. And the second thing, how to dilute Islam, they thought of, was break the fabric of shame. Shame now, just break it, destroy it completely. Just break the thing. There must be no vestige of shame left. So anything comes to your mind, just make it happen. But now, to make this thing happen, you need two types of people in it. Right? One class of person who will roll this thing out, and he's got the brain to roll it out. He knows how to roll it out. I can't just get anybody to roll this thing out. It's a conspiracy, it's a plan. Plan must be rolled out by a person that is a scientist, PhD, must have a lot of degrees, all that. He can roll it out. So how to get that rolled out? So the way to get it rolled out is to break that vestige of shame. But how to break that vestige of shame? So I have to get two classes of people. One is the intellectual, you see. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرِفِيهَا أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. So when Allah Pak wants to destroy a people, then what he does? Gets the influential, wealthy influential gets. As long as the tafsir on its own, I won't get into tafsir, but he gets onto the influential wealthy class. Now, in any society, who is the influential wealthy class? Who is the wealthy and influential class? One is the ruler, the ruling class, the influential, they got the influence, they got the power. And the second class that causes the influence in any community is the educated and the learned. Right? These are two people that call the shots in any community. Wealthy, ruling class, right? Call the influence. And the second is the learned and the educated. Right? So now, we have to work this thing very well. So how are they going to work it? So they have to work this class, the wealthy, they have to work with the educated and the learned. The wealthy, they got the leadership, they got the control. Who are they going to work with? They're going to work with the influential. Who is the influential? The learned and the educated. Because the learned and the educated, they need to run their lives. When they need to run their lives, they need wealth to run their lives. If there's no wealth, then can you get them to do work? Say, write a thesis on evolution. You're going to get nothing for it. It means write. Now, say, write a thesis on evolution or Darwinism. Write on that. We'll see you right. 1 year, we'll give 1 million. Right. So you can see he's got a goal. When he's got a goal, he is motivated. He's driven. I got a goal. I have to work towards it. So now, why to lead him to this? Why must he, you know, I spoke about shame, and why to lead him towards this? To lead him towards this because, see, in the 18th or the 19th century, the church was becoming too powerful. Right? And I said at the beginning, the state is more concerned about its throne, worried about everything else, worried about the throne. The throne must be secure. So now, the church is becoming too powerful, then how to break the strength and the might of the church? How to break it? You can only break it if you delete the concept of a God. So now, when you deleted the concept of a God, before they were talking of Adam alayhi salam, Allah ta'ala, etc., now you turn them away. So when you turn them away from God, now is there a God in the whole equation? In the mind, is there a God? So when there is no God, no Allah Ta'ala in the mind, Right? There's nothing like Allah Ta'ala. Then how easily manipulated a man can be. Before that there was a God, there was Allah Ta'ala. If I'm frauding, Allah Ta'ala will know. I'm indecent, Allah Ta'ala will know. I'm stealing, Allah Ta'ala will know. Right? I'm looking at the wrong things, Allah Ta'ala will know. But now, you deleted the whole concept of God. So is there any breaks now? Is there anything that is holding you? So now, but just give this now, that learned class, educated class, he has to give the sabak in a very glossy, intelligent language. He can't give the sabak in a simple language. You have to give it in a very intelligent, very glossy language. So you have to say proton, neutron, proneutron, that he'll give, that story he'll forgive. Right? So he's giving it an intelligent language. Now that when he's given an intelligent language, what's happening to the person, hey, yeah, man, see, science, what he's talking about. And then the education also made that science so important that you fail the whole exam. So you have to learn it and learn it very well. But when you learn it very well, then it shook your belief. If you didn't destroy your belief, it shook your belief. So when you got this destroyed, then you are a toy in our hands. We can manipulate you, we can give you the shape you want, right? We can turn you as we want. And we can tell you LG is right. And you'll say, no, it's right. And then the learner and the educator also will support this. But he'll support it, he'll have to say, he'll have to support it very, being very careful. What he'll have to say? He'll have to say something balancing. So when he balances it as though he's still in Islam. So how will he say? He says, no, he's just got a tendency, you know. He's got a tendency, he's got a liking. So he said, no, I didn't say that must do this, LG. I just say he's got a tendency, and we respect the tendency only. But he's not doing this. Right? But now I say this is Gandhiva, it's madness, right? Now, for mad people, if you use a mad example, right? Now you picked up one person from the informal settlement, right, from the Jundol, and he told one of his learned class, you know, this person here, this person of the informal settlement, he likes you too much, you know. And you're back, he's discovered it, you know. So much. He wants to kiss you on the cheeks and all that. But he's not going to do it. But he just got a tendency. He's got a great feeling for you. And now and then, once a week, he comes and does your garden. Now, when you hear that he likes all these things here, he wants to kiss you on the cheeks, he likes your back too much, he'll give a graphic picture of that thing. What happened to you? Will you have the same relationship with him? But no, what wrong I did? I only got a tendency, I only got a liking for it, so what? I didn't go rape you or anything. See, so this mad people will give a mad example. Well, he says, you know, that same person working from the, wherever he was, right, whether it's informal or whatever, but he likes your family, you know, your wife, and he likes them too much. And even more, he likes to see your daughter, only likes, but he won't do it. He likes to see your daughter undressing, you know. He wants to see one day, at least, you know. One day, you know, there's something, some secret behind all the clothing. Just want to unravel that secret only. Not going to do anything. Not going to rape and all that. Just want to do that much. So what's going to happen after that? You will keep him in the home. But what wrong? What wrong has he done? He didn't do anything wrong. He only spoke about his feelings, his tendency he spoke about. And you took it so hard. So he goes to the court now. You know, I just spoke about my tendencies and then I lost my job. Can you see what happens? So they first work on this wealth, then on shame. Then when you work on that wealth and the shame, now that person is a mouse. Then you can manipulate him, give him the shape that you want, give him the mind that you want, give him the action, behavior that you want, anything that you want, will just flow out from this person here. Just that wealthy will have to see the learned right, the educated right. And the educator will present it in a scholarly style. When it's presented in a scholarly style, he's got, according to him, he's got no reason to refute it. See how academically it's presented. So I understand it. It can't be in the olden ages now, in modern times. But in the whole process, he's corrupted the whole mind. You can see the whole mind is corrupted. And what has happened in this whole process, that whole Islam is diluted. So now it's a body, but it's a lifeless body. Because there's no, absolutely no shame. The concept of God is weakened or gone completely, right? The wealth is all gone, right? The wealth is gone. The shame is gone. The iman is gone. Now can't you manipulate the person as you want?